Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational convergent third way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a parishioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Maybe you want to sit down around here so you can see me. You want to do that? Sit down around there? See? Yes. Why don't you sit facing me, okay? Thank you. You can't see me this way. You can see me. Yes, you can. I want to talk with you this morning about something very, very yummy, okay? You're close. What's your favorite fruit to eat? What's your favorite fruit?
Mangoes.
Mangoes? Oh, they're yummy.
Pomegranates.
That's unusual. Yes.
Plums?
They're really good this time of year.
Blueberries?
Yeah. How about peaches? Yeah? Yeah. Strawberries? Yeah. Apples? Yeah. They're all really good fruits, aren't they? Do you know that we can read about fruit in the Bible? Listen to this from Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What does that mean? Well, do you know that God wants us to be filled with really good things, just like good fruit? He wants us to be filled so that we can live good lives here on earth. And He has shown that to us. It's how He treats us. He loves us. He's kind to us. He's faithful to us. This summer, here in the worship services, we've been learning about each of these fruits. So we've learned about love and joy and peace and patience. This morning, we're going to learn about one more of these fruits, and it's called faithfulness. What do you think it means to be faithful?
To have faith in yourself.
You can have faith in yourself. Yeah, you believe in yourself. Any other words? Yeah. And you think that they're going to be true to you?
Yeah.
If they give you a promise, you know that they're going to keep it? Yeah. I want you to think about your parents for a minute. How do your parents take care of you? What are the things they do to take care of you?
Feed us.
They feed you.
Do the laundry.
They do your laundry. I hope so. Yeah. What else? What else do they do to take care of you? Do they help you sometimes with your schoolwork and make sure you're successful in school? Do they take you to fun places that you enjoy? Maybe they take you to your sporting events or to dance lessons, or they just take care of you. You know, when they do that over and over and over again, you can depend on that, can't you? They're being very faithful to you. Yeah. Well, this morning, I want you to listen really carefully when I talk this morning about faithfulness, because we're going to think about how we can be faithful to God, that He can depend on us like we depend on Him, how we can be faithful to one another, and how we can be faithful when we're out in the world at school or play or wherever we are outside of our homes in the church. And to help you remember that we're talking about fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of faithfulness, I want you to take a piece of fruit with you as you go back to your seats. Help yourself.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
These are already washed.
They are. I wish I had one for all of you, but I don't. Each of us are challenged and encouraged through Scripture and by one another to be more Christ-like. And as we examine our spiritual lives, we're given vivid pictures in Scripture of what that life should look like and what it sounds like. Paul captures that idea in Galatians that I just read to the children. He gives us these 9 traits that we need to think about and need to grow in our lives. We've explored some of those already this summer: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And added to those are 3 more: faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are a composite whole of what the Christian life is to be like. You can't pick just one of these fruit and say, I'm going to be all about peace, and you live a peaceful life but nothing else. Or you can't say, I am really striving to be patient. That's going to be the new me. No, what God intends for us is that each of us are to make each of these this fruit in our lives on a daily basis, all 9 of them. In some sense, that sounds like a lot of work. But if we do it cautiously and carefully and intentionally, we can make it work. So today we're going to concentrate on what does it look like when we cultivate the fruit of faithfulness in our lives. Whether we want to admit it or not, we live in a world that's saturated with unfaithfulness. Every day our lives are impacted either by our own unfaithfulness or falterings or failings or unfaithfulness by others around us. You probably, like me, have experienced broken promises. Someone has assured you that something would happen or a promise would be kept, and it's not. Sometimes unfaithfulness is as simple as telling a white lie to someone just to cover up failure. So how do we go about cultivating bearing faithfulness in an unfaithful world? Well, I think first we need to understand what it is we're to do and what it looks like and how it's lived out in our daily lives. Faithfulness comes from the Greek word pistos, meaning to be trusted, to be reliable, to be counted on at all times. If we did a word study of synonyms of pistos, we'd find that it means steadfastness. It means devoted, loyal, tried, unwavering, dependable, honest, punctual. It has the quality of endurance, even in the rough times in life. It's much more than a grin and bear it kind of attitude. We have an excellent model of faithfulness in God Himself. He's the source, He's the standard of faithfulness for us. He has shown us over and over again in His dealings with His people throughout the Scriptures and in our lives that He is dependable, He is trustworthy, He is loyal, He's devoted. While Jesus was here on earth, He modeled those same characteristics of being faithful to those that followed Him. And you and I are encouraged to allow the Holy Spirit to bring this fruit of faithfulness into and mature it in our lives. When I was assigned this topic many months ago, faithfulness, the first thing that came to my mind was the hymn that we sang earlier, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Because we think a lot about God's great faithfulness to us, I'm not sure we think as much about our faithfulness to Him or to others. But that hymn has some great lines in it. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. God is so consistent, so dependable. Those are the traits that we want to develop in this fruit of our lives. This morning, I'd like to challenge us to consider 3 areas of our Christian journey in which we will strive to cultivate faithfulness through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the first is our faithfulness to God. We've talked, we sang, we know that God is faithful. Now, how do we cultivate our faithfulness to Him? How do we show that we trust Him, that we love Him, through all our circumstances, whether it means it's something we don't want to do even. It's hard to think and talk about faithfulness in the scriptures without thinking about Job in the Old Testament. Do you remember that story? Job was a man of great faith. He prayed for his family. He led a good life. And then Satan got involved, and incredible things happened to Job. He lost all his children. He lost his land, his wealth, even his health. His friends and his wife were no help because they were suggesting to him that he curse God. And he felt like his life was over, but he did not give up hope. In spite of all that, he did not give up hope. He knew God and he trusted God with everything. He knew that God loved him and had a purpose for all that he was experiencing. And although he didn't understand it, he never lost faith in God. He knew that God loved him and that God would bring him through it. Job 13, verse 15 says this. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I still trust him." That's hard to say, isn't it? Though he will slay me, yet I will still trust him. In other words, Job is saying, God, I can't understand what you're doing in my life. Why did you ruin my life? But I know you're good. And so even though everything around me is falling apart, I'm going to trust you. I know that you're going to work out this plan. His faithfulness in trusting God pleased God. And he returned Job's health. He gave him twice as much property as he had before. He gave him a new family. And he gave him an extremely long life after all that had happened. As we live out our lives in this troubled world, when things go awry and life seems hopeless, how might we survive and keep trust like Job had in God? How can we walk faithfully? I like that image of walking faithfully, walking by faith. It means going into every day expecting God is going to accomplish the impossible. I trust that God is with us and he knows our every need. It means taking our cue from God's word every morning and living it out throughout the day and throughout the weeks and the months, spending time daily in God's word, hearing his voice through the scriptures, memorizing and using his word in our work, in our play, in our families, with one another and with our neighbors. It means hearing from God daily, recognizing his voice when he talks to us, willingly obeying him, especially when it doesn't make sense. Praying, talking to God, not just at mealtime or in our specific devotional time, but any time of day. The concept of when we breathe in and out, it's prayers speaking to God, like we're talking to our very best friend. Rather than sharing some illustrations from books I read or articles I saw, I'm going to share today some close at home illustrations from folks in our congregation. So I've asked a number of people in the last couple weeks about how they remain faithful. I also talked to a few people that were members or are still members of the Grantham Church that live at Messiah Lifeways. Many of you know Laura Hoffman. She's been a longtime member of Grantham. I visit her regularly at the village. At 106 years of age, Laura can quote many, many, many scriptures. She amazes me. And although she's now blind, she has God's word hidden in her heart and in her mind that whenever she wants to be reminded of God's care and his love and his faithfulness, she quotes scripture to herself, to people who visit her. I came in one day and she was on the phone with her granddaughter and she was quoting scripture to her granddaughter over the phone. What part of God's word do you have memorized? Do you have hidden in your heart and in your mind that you could quote when you need that reassurance? I also talked to another older member over at Messiah Lifeways about being faithful to God, and here's what he said. MJ, as a young man, I felt God prodding me to be faithful about the resources He has given me. So throughout my life, I've consciously evaluated how God has blessed me, and I intentionally and faithfully gave financially to the needs of the Grantham Church, and to the needs of the community, and to the work of God throughout the world. At times when finances were really tight and I wondered if I had the money to do it, I had to learn to trust God that He would provide so that I could continue to faithfully give to the work of God's work here on earth. How often do we do that? How often do we evaluate how God blesses us and then discern how we can be faithful in our giving to God's work here and in our community? Another gentleman, as a member of Grantham for almost 40 years, shared, "I've always thought of faithfulness in how my inner faith is manifested outwardly. And I thank my church family for teaching me that. My understanding of faithfulness occurred through sermons I heard at Grantham, through classes I was involved in, interacting with friends and neighbors." And he went on to say that being faithful to God involves regularly attending worship, learning opportunities provided by the church in order to grow and be all that He can be. Another member of the congregation reported that daily devotions and awareness of God's presence throughout the whole day is really important to her being faithful. And she said she enjoys going out into nature and seeing God's faithfulness, and that encourages her in her faithfulness. She said also attending worship and learning community regularly is important, and she's part of a small prayer group that helps her to maintain her faithfulness. And still another shared that Psalm 36:5 is a psalm she focuses on daily. "Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies." And as she quotes that verse, she is reminded of God's faithfulness that encourages her to be faithful so that she will read the scripture, she'll use the Book of Common Prayer, she memorizes scripture, she explores spiritual disciplines. She keeps a thankful journal of what she's thankful for each day, and she practices Sabbath. Another said, "Songs and scripture, and especially the Psalms, keep me looking to God." So we have a lot of ideas there. Reading, knowing, memorizing scripture, attending worship, learning communities, small groups, keeping journals, singing, many ways that we can maintain our faithfulness to God. So first, faithful to God. Now let's look at the second aspect of faithfulness, and that is faithfulness to one another in our community. There are numerous illustrations in Scripture of folks in the early Christian church who were faithful to others in the community. If you look at Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37, we hear this: "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them. They brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had a need. They shared all they had with one another." This takes place right after Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit had descended upon the church, and God answered the believers' boldness, and He filled them with the Holy Spirit. And the church was united in spirit and in soul. And so they brought their goods together, they brought their finances together, and they shared them with one another. Faithfulness to one another in the faith community occurs when we share what we have with others when they have a need. You possibly have been a recipient of some of that. Someone brings you a meal after you've been ill or you've had a busy thing happening in your life, or others offer to drive you when you can't no longer drive, to go to the doctors or even bring you here to church. Recently, a friend in my small group generously came and installed two window air conditioners in my upstairs bedrooms because I can no longer lift those heavy things in and out of the window. His faithfulness in sharing his time and energy was a real gift to me. And I'm sure many of you have experienced those kinds of gifts of faithfulness. And in turn, we need to be looking and be ready to share with each other. And then Paul gives us another concept of sharing with one another in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a familiar passage I'm sure you're going to remember. From chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. And he's talking about the church here. It's made up of many parts, and we form one body. So it is with Christ. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Verse 14, now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. He arranged each of us in this body here at Grantham, just as he wanted it to be. And we each have a part. We're not the same part, we're different parts. God has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. If one part suffers, every part suffers from it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with us. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You know, for the body of Christ here at Grantham Church, we're called to faithfully use the gifts that God has given us through the Holy Spirit to build each other up. Church growth statistics unfortunately say that in many churches, 20% of the people do 80% of the ministries. I often felt when I was here at Grantham that that wasn't accurate for Grantham, and I don't think it still is. In situations like that, there are huge holes that make up the body. There's pieces missing, and when there's pieces missing, you can't function properly. So what does it look like to be faithful to the body here at Grantham Church? It means that each one of us accepts the gifts that we're given, and we use them with each other. Children, youth, and adults are discipled and grow in their spiritual lives. It means when Pastor Dave needs instrumentalists to lead worship or voices to sing in worship, he has already been notified by you, because you've gone to him and you've said, this is a gift I have, and I want to give it and share it with the church. Use me. Or if Pastor Denise is staffing children's ministries, those of you with teaching abilities and you love children, you've notified her and you told her, I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to work with children in learning communities, nursery, VBS, special events. And it means when Pastor David and Pastor Melissa are needing to fill leadership positions on church board or on commissions or set up ministries, they know, those of you who have administrative gifts, because you've come to them, you've told them, I want to be part of this body and I'm going to use the gifts I have. Where do I fit in? Or when Chrissy is organizing youth events, she knows, because you've told her, that you have a heart for teenagers and you want to help her, whether it's lead a Bible study or assist her with a youth event or chaperone a retreat. She knows that she can call on you. It means when the facility manager needs help with facility issues, those of you with gifts in construction and building and landscaping are on his list to call to keep the church in tip-top shape, as well as the grounds looking beautiful around the church. Did I cover them all? There's lots of needs in a Grantham church. And you all are part, along with me and the staff and others, to fill those needs because we are faithful to one another. In the last few months, you have read and heard of some of the folks who have been faithful in sharing their gifts, and I just want to highlight them. Bill Propst was an usher for 40-some years because he delighted in greeting people on Sunday morning that came into the church. Edie Asbury has used her skills in the church library, organizing and maintaining the resources for all ages, and she's done that for 20-some years. Donna Burt, a knowledgeable and creative gardener, has found her gift in being faithful by being on the Facilities Commission and heading up the landscaping of the outside of the church facility. And she's called some of you to help her with that. Abby Donoville, a young adult, has been serving in numerous capacities in children's ministries and in worship ever since she was old enough to do that. And in the next month, this next month, you're going to be seeing us highlight Dawn Isley, who for almost 40 years has been faithful here at Grantham, first in children's ministries, and then as a deacon caring for people in the church, and now she's organizing and setting up the fellowship meals. And she's going to need people to help her with that. The faithfulness of each of these folks encourages us to find where we fit in to the church. It might be an upfront or leading position, and it might be behind the scenes, like setting up for sing and play or helping to clean up after a fellowship meal. What ministry opportunity has your name on it? Can you see it? I challenge you to take time, if you're already not using your gift in the church, to take time to ponder and pray and discern where your gifts can be used to faithfully build up this body. And then, more importantly, don't keep it to yourself. You need to let the staff know. Send them a text. Call them. See them after church. Let them know where you're willing to serve in the life of this. And if you see the visual on the screen here, when even one of us is not sharing our gifts in the church, it's missing a piece, and we're not whole. We want to be a complete body here at Grantham. One member of the congregation responded to me saying that she has a very long history, since the 80s, of being involved with peace and social concerns. You already know who I'm talking about, I'm sure. That morphed into Missions, Peace, and Service, and then into Peace and Social Justice Commission. Her faithfulness to us has been through many years of giving leadership to activities on Peace Sunday. She was involved in a peaceful reconciliation process with members of the church when needed, and she edits the denominational periodical Shalom on peace and social justice. Harriet, thank you for sharing your gifts with all of us. Yes, no matter your walk in life, your age, or your gender, God has gifted you with something we need. So think about how you might do that. Children, are you still listening? You're not left out of this group. You too have something that can be used in the life of the church. Faithfulness to God, faithfulness to one another, and the third aspect is being faithful, engaging in the world around us. Jesus modeled a life on earth by living out the fruit of the Spirit. He demonstrated love and kindness. He was an example of patience and peace. His joy was in abundance. His life was a paradigm of goodness. And now we can read and discern in Scripture how he also had the fruit of faithfulness as he engaged in the world around him, sometimes to the dismay of his followers. In Luke chapter 19, it's up on the screen. In this passage, we find Jesus insisting on going to the house of Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus, the little man, who was the head tax collector and a very wealthy man in Jericho. Zacchaeus was scorned by his countrymen because he was known for cheating. But Jesus wanted to go there anyway. In Luke chapter 19, verse 7, we read, when they, meaning his followers, all saw how Jesus wanted to go to this man's house and eat with him, they began to grumble or mutter. They didn't want him to do that, but Jesus knew what he had to do. He knew he had to be engaged in the world, and he had to go to Zacchaeus. He reached out to those who needed to hear the message. And then in John chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 and verse 27, Jesus chooses again to faithfully engage in the world. You know this story very well, I'm sure. He was traveling through Samaria. He stopped at the well in Sychar, and a Samaritan woman came to get water. And he did something that no other Jewish person would do. He asked this woman, "Will you give me a drink of water?" Even she was perplexed that this Jew would talk to her. She said, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why would you ask me for a drink?" And when his disciples returned, they too were surprised to find him talking with a Samaritan woman. But Jesus knew his calling. He knew that he could not just stand and be with the followers. He needed to go out into the world. He needed to walk into unknown territory. He needed to feel out the places that were different and people that were living differently than he was. Timothy Keller and John Anuzzo, in their book, Uncommon Ground, Living Faithfully in a World of Difference, reminds us that just as Jesus did in the first century, we are to faithfully engage in the world in which we live. We are to do it with confident hope rather than stifling anxiety. Sometimes it's scary to move out of our comfort zone. Much of what we find will be unfamiliar. It will be maybe risky. These authors also remind us to follow the advice of Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Walk in the manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance, with love for one another. A lot of the fruit of the Spirit is right there in that verse. When we intentionally engage in the world, it's important to find common ground with the folks in order to communicate with them. It doesn't mean that we have to endorse every goal or every value that they do, but we need to draw near to them. We need to be willing to get next to them. 40 years ago, and it's 40 years ago this month that I came to Grantham Church. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I heard numerous people talking about a holy huddle, and I had no idea what they meant. "We live in a holy huddle," they said. Well, think about it. Grantham Church was up on the center of campus, a Christian college, where many faculty and staff worshiped and had leadership in the Grantham Church. The denominational offices moved right next door, where many of the leaders worshiped at the Grantham Church. And then Messiah Village, the retirement center, was close by, where retired pastors and bishops and missionaries and church leaders moved and lived, and they participated in the Grantham Church. Can you see the holy huddle? A lot of great people. And it was fun being and mixing and talking and learning from one another. But we needed to move out of our holy huddle. We talked a lot about that. And over the years, you know, Grantham Church has done pretty well at that. We've moved out of that holy huddle. Take a look at our ministry partners today. They're listed on the screen. We can find ways to be challenged, even when we're hesitant, to reach out beyond ourselves, beyond the borders of this congregation. Patty Hess will help you faithfully engage with folks in Harrisburg who live in Paxton Ministries. Julia Johnson has a place for you to faithfully serve in Mechanicsburg with 180 Ministries. Folks like Dave Hudson and Chrissy Hoffner would be glad to point you faithfully in helping in nearby communities through New Hope Ministries. And Mennonite Central Committee always has a need for faithful workers. Some of you have been working for MCC, maybe you didn't even realize it, as you make comforters that have been distributed in war-torn countries. Yesterday, I think I saw the last count was 844. It's probably more today. That's a lot of comforters that we send out. Ken and Yvonne Martin, who helped give leadership to the annual Pennsylvania relief sale in Harrisburg for MCC, could probably also suggest some faithful ways you can engage in some of their projects around the world. One couple responded this week to me, sharing that between them, they volunteer at New Hope, at Paxton, at 180 Ministries, at MCC, Young Life, and Catholic Charities, teaching ESL and working with refugees. Each of these organizations is on the leading edge of the church, interfacing and interacting with believers and non-believers. Whether it's feeding people, being friends with them, finding them housing, teaching them to drive or to shop, or creating comforters, teaching people to speak English, introducing them to the gospel, and just connecting, getting near to them, are all ways that we can faithfully show the love of Christ to others. We recently lost our dear sister, Sandra Jameson. Many of you knew her well. Her whole life was a model of faithfulness. I think back of when I first met her, and it's continued to she passed away. She consistently had a faithfulness to God, worshiping Him. She cared compassionately for others in this community where she served as a deacon for a number of years and helped us faithfully with one another. And she found ways, even with her physical limitations, to be faithfully engaged in the world. I discovered this year that she connected with a letter-writing prison ministry, and she wrote regularly to women prisoners. These folks became very important in her life and in her prayer life, and she prayed for them regularly. She was a vital outside-of-prison connection with these inside-of-prison women with whom she engaged. There's all kinds of ways, even as we get older, that we can engage in the world. Faithfully engaging in the world can be as simple as sitting down and actively listening to someone's story. There are many hurting, lonely, discouraged folks who just need an opportunity to have their voice heard, to hear their concerns, their hurts, or how they feel they've been silenced. A statement like, "Tell me how you're feeling," or "I'd like to hear what you're thinking about," enables them to trust that you are willing to take the time to be near to them, to listen to them. A couple in our congregation shared an experience they're having with Nepali neighbors who moved in beside them. And although this couple initially was shy about approaching these new neighbors because they learned that only one of them really spoke English, it's a young couple with two children and the woman's elderly mother and father, but they did it anyway. The father is tongue-tied since birth, so he can't speak. The mother is deaf and mute, and although she learned sign language, nobody else in the family did, so she can't communicate. But together, these couples have devised their own system to communicate using gestures. Over time, they began to trust one another. The older woman recently gestured to the woman, saying that she liked her flowers and would like some of them. And so she dug some up and gave them to her. The husband speaks very little English, but they work hard at just short communication with him. He's also learning English as they begin talking and sharing with him. This family faces a lot of difficult issues. And so the couple from Grantham has helped them to find ways to get help. As they shared this story with me, they said that this relationship has definitely been prompted by the Holy Spirit. And they know that as they have worked with them, it's with God's help that they're learning to accept the differences that they have with these neighbors. This is truly cultivating faithfulness of engaging in our world. There are many ways you might engage in the world outside of our church, outside of our homes and our community, by following your heart as this couple did, by listening to God's calling to cultivate the fruit of faithfulness in our world. So my challenge for you today as we close is to intentionally pray and act on how you will bear the fruit of faithfulness in your own personal relationship with God, and how you will build up the body of Christ here at Grantham through faithfully using your gifts for one another, and then seeking ways that you can faithfully engage in our world, sharing God's love with others. I invite you to join me with the prayer that's going to be up on the screen. It's a prayer that was written by John Stite, a British theologian. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that this day I may live in your presence and please you more and more. Lord Jesus, I pray that this day I may take up my cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray that this day you will fill me with yourself and cause your fruit to ripen in my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Amen.